Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. He our rock, our... I guess you guys don't have the whole song, but I do, but... Sorry about that.
You're going so well, too, Caleb. Thank you. Well, welcome, friends, you beloved community of God. So glad to see you this morning. Glad you're here. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this congregation. I don't know what your last 2 weeks have been like, but I do know what they've been like for me, and I'll tell you that I'm very thankful to be here among you all this morning. It is indeed a joy to gather, to worship, to pray, to encourage one another in faith. This morning we'll break bread, we'll drink from the cup, we'll hear scripture read and taught, we'll give and we'll bless. That sounds like a good day to me. So, welcome. Again, glad you're here. If you're visiting, thanks especially for your presence today, and we hope that you feel warmly welcome. For a few minutes, how about we stand up, greet one another, and let's remain standing when I come back up and I'll light our Christ candle, read our psalm, and then we'll worship in song together. Let's do that now, please. Let's remain standing, please. I'm now going to light our Christ candle to remind us that the light of Christ is indeed among us and in us. Our psalm for the morning comes from Psalm 71, starting in verse 1. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my birth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Let's sing together.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power. Worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou, lift up the voice in praise and devotion, saints of all earth before him should bow. Angels in heaven worship him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before thee with singing, filled with thy spirit, wisdom, and power. May we ascribe thee glory and honor. Worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou, please be seated.
Morning. If you would pray with me, I'm going to pray this derived from Isaiah 58. Father in heaven, we ask that you do away with the yoke from within us. Give us the courage and vision to build practices leading to equity and justice. Let us not blame victims or speak a troublesome word. Instead, may we offer ourselves to the hungry person and feel the need of the humble. May we shine with your light in the darkness, such that the gloom will be like midday. We ask you, Yahweh, to guide us continually and fill our appetites in scorched places. We ask you to renew our muscles and bones so that we will be like a watered garden. like a spring of water whose water does not deceive. Let us build up the ruins of old and raise the foundations from past generations. Let us be called repairer of a breach, restorer of paths for living on. May you, O Father, make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way. Our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, failure, danger, Father, be thou by our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
Chelsea, if you'll go to the next slide, please. Jesus has his mission always in mind. Jesus knows what he's about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He quotes about himself because he has anointed me. This brief keynote address from Luke chapter 4 has set the stage for everything that we have thus talked about so far in Luke's gospel and sets the stage for everything yet to come. We've been declaring aloud Jesus' pronouncement every Sunday since June 12th. And would you please join me again as we do so now? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 11. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Thanks, Brian, for reading today, and Alex, thanks for that prayer from Isaiah, and Caleb for leading us in song. Okay, our Roots friends, before you get up to go to the back table, in about 10 minutes or so, I'm going to need at least one, maybe two volunteers. If you can count, you are eligible to help me, okay? So in about 10 minutes or so, maybe 12, depending on how long I go, I will ask for volunteers, and so if you want to do that, then you can start thinking about that now. Okay, you can head back to the Roots table. Miss Brandy is already there waiting for you. I mentioned in the welcome that I am glad to be back with you. 2 weeks ago, right about this time, a couple hours before this time, we got a call that Chelsea's mom had died suddenly. And I'm up here at the office, as I always am, early, and Chelsea called me around 8. At 8:30, I called Caleb and said, can you preach my sermon for me? He said, absolutely. I sent it to him, and he printed it off and came up here and delivered it admirably and well, and I'm so thankful for that. Thanks for taking care of this congregation in my stead, and very grateful. Dee, you preached so beautifully last week. Thank you for doing that. And for the last couple weeks, thank you, church, for the ways that you have supported not only my family, but Chelsea specifically. You have texted us, you have called us, you have sent a ton of letters. You've given us some gift cards and whatnot, and we are so thankful for that. I am convinced that we have been carried by your prayers, and so thank you for doing so. Well, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we seek you. We give you thanks for this body that gathers here. And now would you refresh us, renew us, and challenge us today? Would you pour through me the gift of preaching? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus prays. In Luke's telling of the story, Jesus is always sneaking off here and there to pray. He prays in private and he prays in public. He prays at inconvenient times and rouses the anxiety of his disciples. He prays and rouses their curiosity. At his baptism, Jesus prayed, and the heavens broke open and the birds flew free. After a certain round of healings, Jesus became so popular that he left them, withdrawing to a lonely place to pray. One evening, Jesus camped on a mountainside the whole night long, and he prayed alongside the stars that kept him company. In the morning, he asked 12 named persons to journey with him. On another occasion, Jesus was praying alone and his disciples were with him. And you've got to wonder, well, which was it, private prayer or public prayer? But his wondering was about something else, for he turned to his disciples and asked them pointedly, "Who do you say that I am?" There are several other references in Luke's gospel, but the point is that Jesus prays. In our text for today, we not only see Jesus praying again, but we also settle in for an extended time of focused instruction. He's praying, and when he stops, he's poked and prodded by his needy disciples who say to him, "Teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." John is John the Baptist, of course, and his contingent of followers have apparently developed a reputation for religious rigor and self-restraint. Back in Luke chapter 5, a few religious leaders were chastising Jesus and his disciples, and they said, "John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples just go to parties, eating and drinking. Why is that?" John's disciples are known for prayer. Pharisees' disciples are known for prayer. Maybe Jesus' disciples feel they should be known for something a bit more spiritual, like praying, instead of just being branded as healers and preachers and travelers. Or maybe they sincerely want to explore the mysterious and marvelous and sometimes murky depths of prayer. They've watched Jesus pray. They've been prayed for by him. They've witnessed his retreats and his returns. And now perhaps they're ready to partake themselves. I say they, but really, it's only one. One of his disciples say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." I'd like to know which disciple it is. I'm guessing it's a quieter disciple, someone who's hardly ever mentioned in the Gospels, like James, the son of Alphaeus. I bet it was James. Or Judas, the other Judas, not that Judas. The folks who hardly speak in front of others, they are often the persons I most want to hear from, because something is whirling around in their introverted brains. Something is stirring in their reserved hearts. And when they do share or ask or speak, you know that it comes from a thoughtful place, and it's best for everyone else to pay attention. "Lord, teach us to pray," the person asks, as if prayer is a learned experience. Prayer is a learned experience, generally taught by someone older to someone younger, though the other way around often happens too. Prayer is an absorbed practice, soaking up all the words and the whys that a person who prays exudes. You did not learn to pray on your own. Someone taught you, showed you, pointed you in a certain direction, prayed over you. You heard, you heeded, you tried it out on your own. Even if their prayers were mechanical in form and devoid of any passion, class was in session. And you picked up what you could pick up, and you left behind what you could leave behind. Who was that for you? Who taught you to pray? Who taught you how? Who taught you why? Who saw no reason to pray? Who prayed up front a lot, but their lives hardly matched what they ever prayed for? Who prayed in secret, and their lives radiated whatever happened in that broom closet of theirs? In a minute, I'm going to ask you to share who taught you to pray. So be thinking. Also, just a reminder for our Roots friends, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to need a couple volunteers, and I'll ask for that in just a moment. For me, as I have shared a couple times before, it was my parents who every night before bedtime gathered us three kids together and said an order, Chris, Steve, Kelly, for example. Then we'd pray in that order, one after another. My dad's dad taught me dinner time prayers in the lyrical King James language. We thank thee for this meal for which we are about to receive. Cora teaches me to pray for the marching ants on the ground. And one time I was sitting here in a chair in this auditorium reading, and an ant crawled right up onto my left arm. And instead of smashing it to oblivion, because of my daughter, I gave thanks for its life, carried it outside, and sent it on its continuing mission from God. Bobby Heepner taught me it's okay to write prayers down that you're going to pray in public. Earl Linder taught me that extemporaneous prayers in public are okay too. Mercy and Ruth teach me that it's perfectly fine to pray aloud as you walk loops around a certain church building, praying for revival and thanking God for grace the whole time. My spiritual director, Chuck, teaches me that silence is prayer. The Apostle Paul teaches me that when I don't know how or what or why to pray, there's no shame in that. The Spirit of God does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our cavernous sighs and aching groans. Who taught you to pray? Who teaches you how to pray? Since Jesus had 12 disciples, I'm going to look for 12 different people to share. All you have to do is speak a name. You don't have to tell a story, no explanation, anything like that, no further commentary. If you're online this morning, though, feel free to write as many as you want on this, okay? There's no limit for you. Okay, and now I'm looking for at least one, maybe two Roots friends who would like to help me count. If I have more than two, that is okay. Whoever wants to join me can do that now. Yep, all four of you can come forward. That's great. King, I'm going to switch to the yellow one. All right, you're going to just stand kind of right here. All right, I'm looking for 12 people, so that means each of you are just going to hold up three fingers. You'll do the first three, one, two, three, when they follow directions. You'll do four, five, six, holding up your fingers. You'll do seven, eight, nine, and you've got the rest of the 12, whatever numbers those are, okay? Gotcha. So, for example, if Miss Chelsea says somebody, you're going to hold up one finger. And then if Miss Judy says something, and then Miss Mercy, you're going to hold up two and three. You're only holding up the first three, the next, good? Good. All right, I'm looking for 12 just names. You can raise your hand and I'll call on you. Charles? You can just say a name from there. Yeah. A name of someone who taught you to pray. Okay, there's one, thank you. Andrea? Okay, parents, that counts as just one. We'll do that. Yes, Ruth.
My mom.
Mom, okay. We're switching to Lily now. Joe, I saw your hand.
Bill Watson,
okay. Jeff. Joe Becker, okay. You got two fingers on yours now. Yes, Michaela. I'm going to come right here to Michaela first, then right in the back. What did you say? Virgil Fry, yes. Okay, that's your third. Corey, you got the next one. Yes, ma'am. Your grandfather, that's great. Thank you. Okay, Corey, you got that one. That's your first. Okay, yes, Nelson.
Roy Wilburn.
Okay, Corey, you got the second one. Okay, Dick.
Dan Anders.
Corey, that's your third. Okay, Luke, you got the last three. Okay, Alex.
Martin Luther,
thank you. Okay, there's one. We need two more if my math is correct. Yes, Casey. Your daughter is okay. All right, looking for one more. Yes. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you, and that's the last one right there. Okay. Thank you so much for your help today, for helping us come up with 12 persons who have taught us to pray. I'm so grateful. All right, y'all can head back to the Roots table. Thank you. Thank you all who shared. There's definitely stories behind all those names, and I'm grateful for that. Well, I've asked Jesse Gay to co-preach with me this morning. Jesse is someone else who teaches me to pray, and I can't tell you how many times that he's told me, if you ever want me to pray on a Sunday, I will do it, and he is not kidding about that. We've taken him up on that offer many times, and we are better people because of it. I've asked Jesse to speak for a couple of minutes on two things. Who taught you to pray, and what have you learned about prayer? So, Jesse, come on up.
It's an honor, Pastor Steve and Pastor Chelsea, for being here. My mother taught me how to pray, but I'm going deep down. It started from my great-grandmother, Mama Darcy. She had five daughters, no boys. And one of them daughters is my grandmother. She taught me how to pray. She said, when you go in somebody's house, thank them, you know. And I said, okay, yes, ma'am. But we never got it until, you know, it happened. Because she said, most people go in people's house and want to go to the bathroom or want to drink a water, try to see how they live. She said, now you go in there and say, thank you. And I said, yes, ma'am. And then, so it's come down, my grandmother had two children. One was my mama, and one was my aunt, Virginia Brown. So, my mama, she always said, Jesse, I never knew my daddy. I said, oh, what's going on? You know, like, what's up? You know, like, she cried on my shoulder so many times. And I said, Mom, what's going on? She said, I never knew my daddy. I said, okay. I thought you and Aunt Bunchy had the same daddy. So she said, no. So she said, you know, even when we're hungry, she says, Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. There's no other one like you. You know, and I try to figure that out many years. And she came to me crying, and I said, Mom, what's going on? She said nothing, you know, so. I said, Mom, what's going on, you know, because I know when your mama cried, something is going on, you know, like. So I said, what's going on? She said, I found out I have a brother. I said, what? You know, like, what's going on, you know? So she said, yeah, his name, Eichmann Shaw Jr. I said. So when he came to visit my auntie for 2 weeks, he came to stay with his sister, my mama, for 2 years, a year and a half, or 3 years, whatever. I mean, I don't know, but I know it was fun to have him there because it's lit up everything. And he say, sis, you know, he called sis. Say, sis, whatever you need, I got you. She said, nah, we're good. And you know that little package, that little flower package that Pastor Steve gave everybody? My mom used to go to the garden. We ain't have no meat. But she used to plant okras, tomatoes, and all kinds of stuff. And she said, you know, everybody, y'all ready to eat, you know. So he said, yeah, everybody looking for the meat. So she have a, you know, thing of biscuits with syrup, homemade syrup. And she got a rice with homemade gravy. And so she said, everybody, Mom, where the meat at? Ain't no meat, you know, just, you know. That's how it is with us, you know. But my mama was a strong lady. And she said, Lord, I stretch my hand to thee, you know. Because when you raise 13 kids, you know, that's strong, you know. And I was just amazed how she just come in there. I done seen my mama cry so many times, and I done seen her stepped on her face so many times where she never get up. You know, she never give up. She always say, Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. We never knew what was going through. Like Pastor Steve said, she'll say that in front of us, but she'll go in her bedroom. You don't know if she praying. You know, we don't know. I just know when I go in now, I see her do a crossword puzzle. So I know she praying, you know. So I say, and then so she say, Jesse, I said, yes, ma'am. She say, when you pray, go in the room, go in the closet, go somewhere where you don't be distracted. I said, yes, ma'am. And so she had two friends. I called them my mama, you know, Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Daisy Williams. And we all stayed next door to each other. So me, Rick, and David Earl, we up there playing. They say, boy, get out of our mouth, you know. But we study, listen to them, because we want wisdom, you know. Women have wisdom, you know. And I learned that through my mama, through my grandmother, through my great-grandmother, through my cousins. And I said, okay. And I say, you know, and we go, you know, they tell us move, we move just a little inch so we can listen. And so we, you know, we moved in it. Daisy Bell, you know. So when my mama brother came, and then, you know how God say, you know, your enemy, your footstool. Well, this lady, you know, on the street came and say, you know, Miss Gay. Oh, mama say, oh, now you want to be my friend, huh? You know, like, you ain't my friend now, but you, my brother here, you want to be my friend. And then you have some people that says, you know, I remember this time, you know, my neighbor named Miss Ramey, she said, they two boys want to stay with us. And so she said, go ask Miss Gay. She said, my mom said, yeah, it's okay. So they try to pay my mom. Mom said, nah, I'm going to treat them like I treat my son. So don't give me no money. And so they said, okay. She said, okay. So when they happened, they thought they was going to get away with a whole lot of stuff. You know, like, you know, she's not my mama. She's not. My mom said, nah, everything is going to be just like it is. Nothing changed. I got you. You in charge. I said, okay, you know, like. And then so they say, okay. Then you have people all around the neighborhood. We're going to see what Miss Gay cook. Then they say. So one lady said, what Miss Gay have that you don't have? So they children said, Mama, Miss Gay got love. You just don't know how love this lady is. This lady is love. And, you know, everybody said, let's change this street to the Gay Street. Mama said, nope, mm-mm. God put us on Seacrest. That's history. Don't change it to my name. That's God put that name up there. Seacrest, leave it like this. And so I said, you know, I say, you know what? I say, Mama, you good. You really good, you know. And so, you know, everybody who sells drugs or whatever, they respected my mama. You know, you see my mama coming home from the off the bus, you know, from work or whatever. You know, this boy named Quincy, he had a big time dope dealer at the time. He see my mama bouncing up and down and on the passenger side, just jamming. You know, like, and everybody, what you doing? You know, man, it's Gay in here, man, y'all. And that's the good part about it. If you respect them and you show them, they will respect you. So that's the best part about it. And my mama got the whole respect that it was. So, in closing, you know, my dad always said, I see the moon see me. God bless the moon, God bless me. So I want to thank you, Pastor Chelsea, you, Pastor Steve, and Cora, and the congregation, because you know what? I'm going to do like my mama said. God, I bless you. God, I raise my hand to thee. There's no other God in heaven but you. So thank you for this church. Thank you for letting me be in a part of this church. And thank you, everybody, for welcoming me here. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Jesse, thank you, brother. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray like Jesse has shared about his grandmother and his mom and others who've taught him to pray. We've heard it all before, but back to school we go. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is shorter than Matthew's, which suits some of us just fine. but it's no less intentional and no less intoxicating. Father, Jesus prays, a term that reminds us that God looks upon us as family, as if we are God's children whom God loves with an everlasting love, as if God is a present parent who understands and corrects and ushers and launches out, as if relationship and community with God is what God so desires. I recognize that the phrase God as Father can needle some people, especially folks with complicated relationships with their own dads or persons who've lived underneath hostile patriarchies. If that's you, first of all, I am sorry. That is not the way that it should be. And second, if that's you, might I recommend a conversation with Lisa Waltman, who's been teaching a wonderful class of her own on the many names of God found in Scripture. She'd have insights and resources and suggestions I can't even begin to give justice to right now. God as Father is how Jesus chooses to start his tutorial on prayer and moves from there to the hallowedness of God that draws out of us a reverence and an awe, a fear even for the divine, for the sacred, for the God that we did not create. And we cover our heads and we cower down as temple doorposts shake and celestial smoke weighs thick around us. And as the angels begin to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with God's glory." And so we take off our shoes, as the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning once beseeched us to do, for God's fiery presence is near, and we can hardly speak. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, not mine, not his, not theirs, but yours, O God, your kingdom come. Take charge of our life, of our lives. Let righteousness and love have the final say. Bring healing to our nearest hurts and justice to creation's furthest edges. Make it so it's not only kingdom, but kindom. The fullness of God in all our kin, among all peoples, all nations, all tiny churches and large cities, all genders and identities, all races. Your kingdom come, Jesus teaches us to pray, and we say, may it be so. Since God has seen fit to commission human beings of all creatures to pray that God will give, that God will provide exactly what we need, which is enough bread for today. Enough bread for today so that our stomachs are satisfied, and so is our hope. Ask God for forgiveness, for redemption from sins that we have knowingly given ourselves over to, and for release from sin that so easily entangles us without our permission. And God forgives and makes all things new. Praise be to God. So let your forgiveness be the impetus for you to forgive others. Let their sin against you go. Let their debts go. Doing so may be as difficult as the actual hurts they hurt you with, but let it go and be free. Do not be defined by it or beholden to it. Forgive, and God will deal with their sin too. Finally, pray that we will not come into a time of trial. Pray that God will protect you and that God will keep you faithful in all circumstances. This is the Lord's Prayer according to Luke. And before Jesus dismisses us with peace and purpose, he reinforces his teaching with a quick parable about two friends. One has an unexpected guest arrive late at night, but he has nothing to feed him. Knocking at the door of his friend and trying not to wake the neighbors, he says in loud whispers, "Hey, do you have any bread that I can have?" The other friend is already in bed, though, his kids asleep, the lights turned out, feeling perturbed enough to discontinue their friendship. But he gets up and gives him some food. It's a word about persistence and prayer to not stop, to keep praying, to keep praying, to keep praying. Even when it's dark outside and it looks as if no one will answer the door, when it seems that God will not wake up to your very real needs, but persist anyway. Keep asking God. Keep seeking God. Keep knocking and press into prayer, because God is not like the annoyed neighbor giving out of exasperation so God can go back to sleep. How much more will God respond to you, Jesus declares. God, the parent, has not forgotten you or forsaken you or abandoned you. God knows your cares, knows your weaknesses. God sees you. God is the God who provides what is good, and when it is good, God is always on time. And the highest good of all is not a collection of spiritual trinkets, but the Spirit of the living God, which is yours for the asking. It's the Holy Spirit that breathes truth deep within you about who you are and whose you are. God is so pleased to entrust you the animating Spirit, who is the life force behind and within the kingdom of God. Now, that's a lot of teaching. For some, Luke 11 is a beginner's class, a prayer 101. It's a great place to start. An even better trainer to learn from. For others, though, for persons who feel this persistent urge to enter more deeply into the spiritual life, it's a teaching that challenges you to plumb the depths of prayer, ever searching, yet ever satisfied. The call, however, is the same. Pray and persist in prayer, just as Jesus himself teaches us to pray. So together we say or we type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thine erring children lost and lone. Strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. Teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show.
Please be seated. Give us today our bread, our daily bread, we pray. Today, Jesus gives us our bread, this bread that we now get to share together. It's already broken. It's already broken for you, and now we get to share it with great joy and gratefulness in our hearts. We also have the cup, which is his blood poured out for the many, for our sin. As we become accustomed to doing, if you would like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation, you can do so. You can come forward right after I give thanks, and we'll share this meal together. We give you thanks, O God, for your bread, which is enough for today. We give you thanks for the ways it satisfies our stomachs, for the ways it fills us, however much, with hope. For this and the cup, we give you thanks. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you to those who have served the bread and the cup today. I appreciate that. Thanks also to Glenn and Alex, who are going to walk around in just a moment with some offering trays. If you have a few of those cards to put in, some encouragement cards, some prayer cards, letting us know you're here, any of those, along with any tithes or offerings, donations that you have, you can put all those in the tray as these guys walk around. And as always, you can give online if you so choose. You can bring it to the office or drop it in the mail. And thank you. Let's pray together, please. For all that you've done, we thank you. For all that you're doing, we give you thanks for that too. For all that you're going to do, we give in anticipation for that. We now give you thanks for the hearts of this congregation, for the generous hands and hearts that you have placed among us. With what is given, we pray that, as always, your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, while they're walking around, I want to share some family matters with you. We do have Bible classes immediately after service today. They are all over this building, and we sure hope that you can choose to stay around and be a part of one of these smaller connection groups for our classes. And now we'll work further into the future and come back to today. Sunny Glen, children's home that we have long partnered with for funds or food, supplies, things like that. They are coming back around in just a few weeks. Here's some items that they need. You can see that up on the screen and your bulletin as well. Thursday Bible class begins September 1st, just a couple of weeks from now at 10:30. It's both in the conference room and on Zoom. And if you want to be a part of that, then you can just let Andrea know if you want to be a part via Zoom. King is your connection there. Next Sunday, Jessica's going to come up and tell us about this. Next Sunday, we have a church family meal immediately after classes. Jessica, tell us about that.
Of course, I come up to do one thing, but I'm also going to say another, just because I'm joyful about quite something this morning. My friend Casey being here, and I'm just grateful for the good days as she continues through treatment. Megan and Casey share a unique bond, and that's what we'll be celebrating next Sunday. Alex, Kay, and I want to express our gratitude for all of the years that you've supported us in our journey to find Megan, and we'll be celebrating her finalization just through a simple meal, some probably soup and sandwiches. I'm not quite sure yet, but I'll be planning, and I'll see you guys next Sunday.
We look forward to that. Thank you. After classes today, we have a back-to-school celebration for our children, for our teenagers, over in the fellowship hall. You can make your way there immediately after classes, and we'll enjoy each other's company for some time. Well, every year around this time, we have our annual back-to-school blessing for our students and for our employees. It's also a commissioning. We bless with an embodied word of God, and we commission them, sending them out with mission to remember Jesus and to remember to love others as God has loved them. Some of our friends have already started school for a week or two at this point. And HISD begins tomorrow. So as we begin this time of blessing and commissioning, I want to invite those of you who are students to come forward, please. You can join me up in this section. I'm going to scoot over a little bit. If you are a student who is between pre-K and high school, y'all can get right in front of the table. If you were in college, if you were in graduate school, medical school, obtaining your GED, if you are getting your doctorate and are nearly done, thanks be to God, you can come forward. If you are a teacher, a school employee, a professor, an administrator, a crossing guard, if you are an active volunteer in schools, if you are a room mom or a room dad, if you are retired from working in schools, you can join us up here too. If you are watching on Facebook Live, you can feel free to enter your own name if you fit one of these categories, or if you have a loved one who does. Parents, we're thinking about you as well, and you do not have to come up here, but would you stand where you are, please? We know that sometimes school can be both a gift and a challenge, so would you stand? And if any of you ever went to school of any kind out there, you stand up too, please. We'll have our entire congregation standing at some point. If you're watching online, you can stand too, either physically or in spirit. Our blessing and commissioning this morning comes as a call and a response. I'm going to read one section in just a bit, and you're going to respond with that part up there. If you look up on the screen, I'm going to be saying a couple phrases about one about opening, and then our minds, hearts, mouth, feet, ears, eyes, ears, our parents, our staff, and then I'll close it. And then after each of those points, you're going to respond with, Lord, hold us and our prayers. And you will know it's your time to do so when I make an exaggerated gesture such as this. Here we go. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. That's going to be your response, okay? All right, you have practiced, you are ready to be blessed and commissioned. Let's do this now. With you, O God, every transition and new start is a reminder of your goodness, for you are always creating in us and through us and around us. We are grateful for the opportunity to learn and grow in schools. Knowing it is one of the biggest privileges we have. With thanks and love and with trepidation and anxiousness, we now offer everything we are to you, asking for your blessing. So we pray for our students of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds. We give you all of our loves and fears. We pray for their hearts and all that they hold, excitement and nervousness, disappointment and hope. And we pray for steadiness and deepening resilience. And so we all say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their minds, that they will expand in wonder and celebration, learning not just from the books studied, but from the people beside them. Open their minds in unexpected ways and settle their thought loops in peaceful places. And together we say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their hands that they will reach out with welcome and care. Bless their hands with patience and dedication as they grip pencils and type on keyboards, grip monkey bars and lunchbox handles as they eat in classrooms or at tables outside. And so we say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their mouths that they will speak words of life and connection. Help them use their mouths to honor you and the belovedness of others. Remind them to open their mouths for deep, sure breaths whenever they are afraid. Together we pray this. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their feet, blessing their steps down hallways and sidewalks. Plant their feet next to those who feel alone and need a friend. We know that you are with them wherever their feet may take them. And so we say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We also pray for their eyes. Grow them with the flexibility to see from all kinds of angles. Bless what and how they see. Help them see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, which dwells richly within them. And we say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their ears when things get noisy. When things get noisy, help them listen extra carefully for your voice. Help them hear with the ears of the Holy Spirit, which dwells within them richly. And together we pray, loving God, hold us and our prayers. Let's also pray for their parents. As the start of a new school year is always another leap of faith, wrap them with your reassuring love as they entrust their children to you. When questions remain unanswered and the realm of control beyond their own, bless them with peace and with the promise that you are right there with their children. And so we say, loving God, hold us and our prayers. We also pray for teachers. We pray for you teachers and staff, administrators. Bless these faithful servants with courage and confidence, knowing that you are in their classrooms and offices with a steady and strong hand. Give them peace and patience and balance in the pressures they will undoubtedly face as they serve with their whole selves your children. Give them delight in the young ones entrusted to their care. And so we pray also, loving God, hold us and our prayers. Last one. We pray for health and wholeness, for fun and growth, surprise and amazements for the school year ahead, knowing that you, God, will hold us all the way through. It's because of Christ that we pray and bless today. And so we end once again with, loving God, hold us and our prayers. Go forth in peace and purpose today.